So this American pastor, Mark Driscoll, I believe that's his name, he's at a men's conference and he sees something on stage before he goes up. And when he gets his turn to go up, he basically calls it out.
I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. Was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. And then he swallowed a sword and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that.
Now, there's divided views on whether this was appropriate or inappropriate to call it out. But my issue with this and my concern isn't so much the way he's done it or what he's said. It's the fact that is that thing that happened on that stage fit for a conference of believers or in a church setting? What is and isn't appropriate to be in a church? That's what I want to talk about in this podcast.
Okay. So what did he see?
So there was a male who, from what I understand, was a former stripper. And he appears on stage and behind him is this giant pole. And he proceeds to rip his shirt off.
Gyrate.
No, he gets a sword, puts it down his throat. So he's obviously doing some sort of magician's act, if you will.
Yeah.
Puts it down his throat, and then he goes on to climb the pole. I haven't seen the full clip. I've seen parts of it.
Okay.
But he goes up this pole, basically. Now, it's a men's event. It's a men's conference. And I know that this particular conference...
What type of men?
Well, exactly. What kind of conference is...
I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not funny. Because this stuff really... You know...
Yeah.
That this is a really, really sensitive topic for me.
Yeah, I know it is. And I know that this conference, amongst other conferences that have happened, but this one in particular has had loads of, like, really high entertainment things on stage, right? They've had, like, monster truck shows driving across the stage and all sorts of things in the past. But I think this one in particular, this pastor, Mark Driscoll, felt the need to call it out. Now, he goes on about it as a Jezebel spirit. Now, we're not going to go down that. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about the fact that he called it out publicly on stage.
Yeah.
And why did he do that? Why did he do that? And I want to talk to you about that because I know that this is something that hits close to home for you because of the position that you hold when it comes to entertainment in churches, because you've had something really intense happen in the past that gives you this perspective.
Yeah. So first and foremost, welcome guys. I hope you're doing all right. Yeah, this topic is very close to my heart. And, you know, first and foremost, like I'm not really up on Mark Driscoll's beliefs and theologies. You know what I think when people say it's a Jezebel spirit or a marine spirit?
Yeah.
I'm not for that. I'm not for that. But either way, if a church is putting things that are completely and utterly unbiblical, unupbuilding, unhonoring to the Lord on stage for many people to see in public, they need to be publicly rebuked. That's where I stand. If you force somebody to watch it, there needs to be a man of God to say, this isn't right. This isn't right. So I don't know the ins and outs of on all of that, but I think it's important that I explain to you guys why I have such strong opinions on entertainment within the body of Christ. Because, look, I was never really against it, and I think there is elements that we can use to reach people. But we have to bear in mind, before we get into any of this, what does the Bible say about the church?
Yeah.
Who does the church belong to? It's the bride of Christ.
It's the bride of Christ. Yeah, it's the bride of Christ. And Jesus talks about the bride of Christ being a spotless bride.
Spotless bride.
Spotless.
Not a double-minded harlot.
He's coming back for a spotless bride. So what does that mean? He's coming back for the spotless bride.
Not a mistress.
No.
And we know that he is perfecting us, that he is washing us over with his word, but when we have gone astray, it just reminds us of the book of Hosea. We just go out and we just give ourselves to disgust and vile things, even within the so-called body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And not only are we the bride, we are the pillar and the buttress of truth.
Yep.
In this land, we are called to be salt and to be light. And to be honest, a lot of the world looks in at the church, just trying to be like the world, to reach the world. It just laughs.
That's what I was going to say. You know, like, I do think people look in and go, well, what's so different about the church? Because yeah. if they're appearing to be just like the world, why would I want to go there when I can just be in the world? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think you always say this, and I always remember you saying this, Nicole. If I want to be entertained
mm-hmm.
and I'm a worldly person, the last place I'm going to go to is to church to be entertained.
100%. I'm just thinking of myself when I was a non, you know, I wasn't following Christ, when I was far from him.
Mm.
There would never be a time in my mind where I thought, you know what? I hope today's entertaining when I go to church, if I go to church, if I decided to go. It wouldn't cross my mind that if I wanted to be entertained or feel like I need a laugh this morning or I need to have a good time this morning, let me just go to church.
But you know what it is? Before I get into why I have this strong opinion on it, I think there is a culture within Chris, because it's easy for me and you to see, you know what it is? It's the leaders and they shouldn't be doing this and they should not be putting these things on stage. Amen. They should not be doing that. But also the Bible tells us that in the later days that people will amass themselves teachers to tickle their itching ears. It's mm-hmm. what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want truth. They don't want conviction. They mm-hmm. don't want the deep things of God. They don't want milk, let alone meat.
Yeah.
They want to be entertained. Charles Spurgeon said something along the lines of, there will come a time, just very much like the scripture, there will come a time, instead of shepherds feeding sheep, there will be clowns entertaining goats.
Wow.
And he said that years and years and years ago, and it's so, so prophetic. Mm. So guys, I'm going to share a dream that I had. I'm saying a dream. It was different to a dream. And before I go any further with sharing it, I'm not saying, thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's scriptural. I'm saying it's experience that I had.
Mm-hmm.
That really, really changed the mm-hmm. whole dynamic of how I preach the gospel,
mm-hmm.
how I want to do things, how I believe the Lord has led us to do things. So stay with me. I'll try and keep this short and sweet. In 2017, we knew that we were called into ministry. There was something going on within me, but I didn't quite know what it is that the Lord was asking me to do. And I was praying and I was praying, saying, Lord, please show me. And I was seeking the Lord big time. I just kept asking him, Lord, please show me. Like, I'm really, really struggling. And a long story short, it came to a point where I cried out to the Lord saying, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Please reveal it to me. And I went to bed one night and in the early hours, I had this dream. And this dream was really intense. Basically, Mariam and I, we were walking through a fun fair. And this fun fair was absolutely huge. You know, since I've read Pilgrim's Progress, it's legitimately like Vanity Fair. But I hadn't seen this yet. I hadn't even knew anything about it. But we were walking through this fun fair. And before us, there was thousands upon thousands of people. I saw Christians in the crowd. And I saw a lot of non-Christians. And the Christians were serving the non-Christians candy floss and hookah duck, and everybody was having a whale of a time, but we didn't feel good. And there was a presence behind us, and there was the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying I seen him, I just knew his presence was there. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Because everybody seems to be having a whale of a time, but I feel really, really uncomfortable. It was bad, it was heavy. And we were guided through this crowd, and I saw Christians to my left and to my right in the midst of all of these people. And the crowds just got thicker and thicker. And as we continued deeper into this fairground, the feeling became more and more intense. And this heaviness matched up completely with how I was feeling for about the month when I was awake, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew this was like, wow, this is, you know, the type of dream where you can smell the smells.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. And we come to an opening, a big cave. If you've ever been to a place at Universal Studios, they have these big sets. And we walked through, it was a big cave, it was dark, and one thing that I realized that it was lighting up with the flashing of people's cameras. And what people were saying was, all of the church people and all of the non-Christians, what a wonderful setup they've got here.
Mm.
What a wonderful job they've done in setting this up. So I looked to my left and there was a hollowing out of the cave, in the cave walls, and in there was a biblical set. not quite sure what it was, but I probably believe it was something like nativity. We've all seen them. Little baby, Mary, Joseph, sheep. We've seen it.
Yep.
And people were laughing and giggling, but the way they were laughing, it was like weird, you know?
Mm.
We were guided through this cave, this winded round a little bit more. These people were beginning to be sardine canned in. There was that many people. And the air was really thick. And as I said, as we continued on into the attraction, which is exactly what it was, the feeling got more and more and more. My heart was racing. Even telling it now, it's happening again.
Mm.
And on the right-hand side, there was another set and everyone was laughing, another biblical scene. And no one took it serious. And we walked through. And this is where it got really, really, really warm. And it opened up into a huge auditorium, like a coliseum. That's what it was, a coliseum. And in the background, you could hear a whipping and a cheering and a clashing of chains. And again, the lighting up of people's phones and cameras and cheering, way, way. And again, thousands of church people, thousands of unbelievers. So we walked out into this auditorium and it was absolutely huge. But right in the middle of it was a stage with all of your fog machines and all of your lights. And right in the center of it was a scene. Now, granted, I hadn't seen The Passion of the Christ at the time, but this film really does it justice. It really does it well. It was that scene of Jesus being flogged. And this sounds really weird, so stay with me. But what was happening in this scene was there was a real man dressed as a Roman with a cat of nine tails. And he was wholeheartedly flogging this dummy Jesus. And what I mean by dummy, it was just like this realistic dummy that was painted up to be like the stereotypical Jesus. And he was flogging it and laughing and going, hey, and everyone's going, hey. And there was paint on the floor. It was weird. And at this point in time, I've got real anxiety. I'm looking at it and looking at you and I'm looking around. I'm going, what is this? What is going on here? The dummy's head is like tilted on an axis. And I'm looking at its face. And every single time its head turns towards me, its eyes become more real. And it turned, every time I tell this story, I get a bit messed up by it. Its head was like turning and its eyes became more real. And it got to a point where its face got brighter and brighter and brighter. And all of a sudden, like, it became a form. But it was so bright and it was so light. It was so radiant. It was Christ, but I couldn't see his features. And he just raised his hand and the volume just went. Couldn't hear anything. The guard had stopped mid-whip. But what I could smell was the copper. It was no longer paint, it was blood. And it was all over the floor. And it was just so, so terrifying, but at the same time so exciting. It was so overcoming, and I remember I could hardly breathe when I was having this dream. And he turned around and he walked out the back of the set, out the back of the setup of what it was, out the fire exit as such. And I was weeping, not just in this dream but in real life. I woke up with a wet pillow, you know, and I'm torn up in the street. I'm looking at you and like I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, like, what we're going to do? And he says, well, what are you going to do? I said, we've got to follow him. We've got to follow him. And we jumped up on the set and he literally had to go through the blood, you know, like scramble through the blood to follow this Jesus. And as we went through, I woke up and I remember waking up and the words, loud and clear, set the gospel free. And I remember getting up. It was time we just had the little one. And you were downstairs with him. And I got up and I couldn't speak. And when I could speak, I tried to explain what had just happened. And I'm praying, Lord, like, if this is you. In fact, I knew it was him. I'm saying, Lord, please guide my steps because I'm not playing anymore. Whatever you want me to have, I'll have. Whatever you don't, take away that prayer again. We're here wholeheartedly serving you. And it wasn't long after that we went into ministry. But that is why when we look to the modern church, to the entertainment aspect of the church, why it really strikes a chord. And I think it's so important that we realize who it is that we are called to follow. What it is that has brought us out of the world, the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
bought us for himself. He saves us from himself, for himself, mm-hmm. to be the bride of Christ. So when we look at these places that are putting men swallowing swords on pools, or the likes of Mike Todd just having these big, massive theatrical performances where women are twerking on the stage, and there's mm-hmm. just no reverence.
There's
no fear of God. That we can't, as Christians, defend what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that we can't use our gifts. If you're creative, praise God, be mm-hmm. creative, but do it biblically.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're musical, mm-hmm. do it for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to do it in the way that he prescribes.
I think part of the problem comes when, as a church, we've come to a place that we just don't think the gospel's enough. Mm. We just think that preaching the word of God is not enough, even though the Bible says it is the power of God unto salvation. That means the power, you will see the power of God in action when you actually preach the gospel.
Yeah. Go back to the foot of the cross. See the pierced hands, the pierced side of Christ, the crown of thorns, the empty tomb,
mm-hmm.
the transformative power that the world needs. The world does not need entertaining. The world needs saving.
100%. There is enough entertainment in the world. Why do people want to be part of the body of Christ? Why did they want to be part of the original church? Because they saw that there was something different about the church. They saw that they loved one another. They were a community. Mm. So they had something in common, and they all had something in common, and they stood out. They were a light. They were a city on a hill. They weren't blending in with what everybody else is doing. They were doing something so supernaturally different, radically different.
And do you know the all things that they had in common?
Mm-hmm.
It was Christ.
It was Christ.
At the center.
It was Christ was at the center. And, you know, it talks about what the church did. What were the things that the church did? They gave up their belonging so that they shared it amongst each other. They were concerned with each other.
Yeah.
They loved one another so much that they were concerned about each other. And people thought, I want to be part of what's going on there. What is going on?
They were called the way.
Yeah, they were called the way for a reason.
Little Christ. Christians, the word Christians was the same as like being called a Bible basher. It was mm-hmm. a mocking word, but you got mm-hmm. mocked because you were not like the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between continuing to welcome and welcome and welcome and entertaining the lost
mm-hmm.
as opposed to preaching the word to them, discipling them in the ways of Christ.
Yes.
And making them a church member, part of the body.
Yeah, and absolutely. And this entertainment aspect of it, if you have to entertain people to get them in, you will have to keep entertaining them to keep them. We've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very well-known saying now because I think people are starting to realize there's so many people that are kind of, it's almost like this blindfold's come off. And they're like, whoa, what's been going on all these years? You know, I've been sitting in a church that's just tried to keep me entertained. And that's why you hear people say things like, I didn't really like the worship today.
Yeah.
Well, and I heard another quote the other day, well, it's a good thing we weren't worshiping you know? Yeah. So it's
and,
like.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Like, our heart in this, and it's really important to say that we're not bashing. We want to be a people. Not just us, but I know the people I stand with as well who are saying, you know what it is? Christ is enough.
Yeah.
You need Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is Jesus that will save your soul. It is Jesus mm-hmm. that is a transformative power. It is Jesus that this world needs.
Mm-hmm.
It is Jesus, when he's at the center, that the world looks and goes, what is going on there?
Yeah.
What is that?
Like, yeah.
How is this so polar opposite to where I'm coming from? I need what it is that mm-hmm. they have.
Absolutely.
So I'm asking you guys, and I really do. Is Christ enough for you?
Is Christ enough?
And then I would also go on to challenge you and prayerfully ask you this. Do you go to church just to be given ear tickling messages? Or are you challenged in your faith? When mm-hmm. I say challenged, it's a good thing. Does it bring you mm-hmm. closer to Christ? Are you upbuilt? Are you encouraged to go and share the good news of God? Mm-hmm. The Bible says to examine yourself, right?
Yeah.
Have you been on milk for 30 years?
Yeah.
Where we're supposed to come on to meet. Mm-hmm. Paul writes, by now you should be A, B, C, D, and so on. This isn't us saying, guys, you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying Jesus is good enough. Mm-hmm. Jesus is worthy. And as his bride, with a great hope and a great assurance ahead of us, we should not defend these things
mm-hmm.
that are on stages.
Mm-hmm.
prosperity gospels, all sorts of unbiblical, ungodly stuff. To call something out is the right thing, and it's done in love.